easy is, we don't have a machlokas rishonim that deep. I mean, there's a machlokas Rashi and tells us what the mitzias is. But it's a four-line gemara with a raya that we want to try to bring from a brisa. And there are two easy answers to the brisa. So this is a lamdan's paradise. Namely, you can focus in on the logic, you can focus in on the structure, and you don't have to tangle your way through the weeds of different girsos and what the gemara did mean or didn't mean. So this is a pretty straightforward gemara, so we have to thank Rabbi Zera for coming in and giving us this conceptualization. And all these cases are not real cases. Gemara is not real cases, not Shulchan Aruch. They're conceptualizations. How can we get to the logic? By spinning cases that help us get to that logic. Okay. And of course, the larger topic, just to remind especially people who haven't been here earlier for this year, the larger topic we're trying to tackle is how to understand the fact that Shein is Pater. We're focusing on Shein. It's true about Regel also. In Rishus HaRabim. Is it Gzeres HaKasuf? We all know that Bava Kama comes with a lot of discounts. You can't strangle people. You can't make them pay for every possible scenario, or else no one will own animals, and you won't have your tea to drink and your milk to drink, because everyone will say, why should I have an animal? Why should I have a factory? Why should I produce anything? If every time something happens, I'm going to pay. So there has to be some yin and yang, some balancing between paying and discounts. The Rishus HaRabim is a Patur. Or, as the Rif said, the reason that you're Patur in Rishus HaRabim is because it's totally normal for animals to walk in Rishus HaRabim and eat or to damage with their body. And that's a level of supervision that we can't demand of people. Or said differently, it's not a pshia. You're a pshia if you allow your crazy animal to go on a rampage. You're a pshia if you allow your animal to run into my Rishus. Shein v'regel b'shus yachid. You're not a pshia if we're walking down Rishus HaRabim where these things are going to happen. The Rifs call that orche. That was the second model we developed. Yesterday, we had a breakthrough. We were hinting to this, but yesterday we had a breakthrough. We had Rav tell us that even in Rishus HaYachid, specifically according to Tosfos' version, if you put your peros in your Rishus HaYachid, too close to Rishus HaRabim, it's in Rishus HaYachid, you own it, it's your house. But you've given people the right to walk through your house, it's still your house, but you give them access to your lane, they can walk through on the way to Minyan, and your peros are there. The animal would be pater, and the owner of the animal would be pater from paying for the peros. Why? Nizik, it's your fault. You put your peros near Rishus HaRabim. You invited people to walk through. Let's look at the Chaf Amid Beis again, Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Shani Hacha, this is a highlight. You should underline it. Neon lights, arrows, highlights. Shani Hacha, why are you pater in Rishus HaYachid for peros? The Amar, the Mazik tells the Nizik, Lav kol kiminech dimekaravtu lu leperosecha lushus harabim umechayeves lu leteroi. It's your fault by putting your peros close to Rishus HaRabim in a way that I can access. Obviously, it's in Rishus HaRabim. I can't come into your land. But you put it next to Rishus HaRabim. You gave me access to the land, especially going to Tosus. According to Rashi, who knows, because you were mafkir the Rishus. Once you mafkir the Rishus, it changes the complexion. But according to Tosus, Makatze Makom is, you weren't mafkir the Rishus. No, you still own it. It's your grandfather's estate. You still own it. You just were a nice guy. You allowed the carbons to walk through. Okay. Why should the carbons be put there if their animal eats your peros? Because you were poshea. Namely, if the nizik was excessively negligent in making his peros accessible for damage, then the owner of the animal can't be chayiv. Said in lamdasha terms, pshias hanizik is mafkia the chayiv hamazik. Pshias hanizik is mafkia the chayiv of the mazik. And yasi, the test case is Rishus HaYachid with pshias hanizik. Once, Henry, we developed that concept, oh, that's why you're pater in Rishus HaRabim. Because what's the ultimate pshias hanizik? Not if you leave it in the Goldberg estate with the carbons coming through, but if you leave it on Pico Boulevard. That's real pshias hanizik. We live right down the middle, Fifth Avenue. That's real pshias hanizik. So we have so far developed three different models for why Shein is pater in Rishus HaRabim. One is the Gzeres HaKasuf. Two is, it's totally orche. There's no pshia of the owner. You're walking. You can't be called a poshea. Three is, there's a contravening factor. There's a mitigating factor. By putting his peros in Rishus HaRabim, or even by putting the peros in Rishus HaYachid, near Rishus HaRabim, with passage access, the nizik was poshea, and his pshia, at some way, we still have to sharpen this, subverts, cancels, mitigates, those are different words, we'll see what that means, any chiyuv of the mazik. We've been thinking about a fourth model, but so far we haven't yet proven it. Hopefully today we can prove it. Okay? That's where we are right now. In terms of the test cases, we had two different types of test cases. We had Shein V'Regel in Rosh Hasharabim where you're chayef against the norm. Normally Shein V'Regel in Rosh Hasharabim is pater. What were those cases, who remembers? Two different machloksin. Shein V'Regel in Rosh Hasharabim where you're chayef. Ilfan Rav Oshia, yeah. I'll give Chavratan confesses. That was one conversation. What's the other conversation? Rav and Shmuel Tzid HaRachava. Those are the two test cases where you're in Rosh Hasharabim, but either the area is horizontally marginal, sidewalk, or vertically marginal, higher up on top of the back of an animal. So by somehow shifting the coordinates of regular Rosh Hasharabim, either horizontally or vertically, we can gauge what the Ptur of Rosh Hasharabim is. And what was the other case we had yesterday? Not Rosh Hasharabim, where you're chayiv, but Rosh Hasharabim, where you're pater. Shemekatzim makam. And that was the real big chiddush of Rav, right? In Rashi, we didn't really know, because remember in Rashi, the route to being pater in Rosh Hasharabim is paved with what? Anyone get my metaphor? The route, according to Rashi, for being pater in Rosh Hasharabim is paved with bor. You get to it by bor. Well, the parents were bor. Once it's a bor, it's hefker. So Rashi is just some ringer, it's an external svar. But Tosfos really hit it. Not the Reb, but Tosfos. Basically, you're inviting people into your house and your pater, and especially the Re, which says since you can't expect people to be careful, it's your responsibility that the carbon animal ate the fruit. It's my responsibility because I'm tempting, I'm seducing, I'm inviting. Okay? Third case is today Rabbi Zera's case. Rabbi Zera talks about misgalgel. We don't really know what misgalgel is. We know what Gilgal is. Gilgal is a reincarnation of souls. Does it exist? Does it not exist? Our Masara says it does exist. Should you think about it a lot? I don't think so, because why will it change anything? Right? So sometimes people get all caught up into the conversation. Does it or does it not exist? It probably exists. If you look at our Masara, Chazal, we're fairly attentive to it. The problem is, well, should that affect my behavior? If I knew that I'm a Gilgal of a certain Neshama, would that change what I'm doing? Doesn't Hashem want me to exert Bechira Chavshis and build my life as best as I can based on Torah and Halacha? The same thing with Bashert, right? Who's your Bashert? Do I think that every one of you has a Bashert? Yeah, because Chazal say it. How should you date? Don't look for your Bashert. Try to fall in love with someone. The Bashert is the person you're going to choose. Like, at the date, don't try to say, are you my Bashert? Try to say, what are your midos? Am I attracted to you? Why, you know, are you going to live together, make a good mother, good family? So I think there are certain larger forces that are predetermined and pre-existing, but Hashem wants us to behave as if we don't know those issues. That's why we don't know them. Hashem wants us to behave. So we'll get caught in that space between, I feel compelled to reject them because I don't think they should impact my behavior. You can have both. You could say that they're true, but it shouldn't impact your behavior because Hashem wants you to exert Bechira Chavshis and whatever other midos in terms of finding a wife or in terms of building your life. So if your parents ask you, what did you learn today? You could say, we learned about Gilgal. All right? I've got a whole list of, I'm invited to speak sometimes in communities. And I really like to keep talking about lambdas. But most of the time, I have to talk about general issues that are more shavu l'chol nefesh and are more popular. So I have a whole list of shiurim that I call bait and switch, that I can call them very sexy and exciting titles and then get back to a gemara sugya. Like, my favorite one is, can women do smicha? Right? So you'd probably get a big crowd for that. And it's really a machlokas in Rosh Hashanah, can women do smicha on animals in the base of Mikdash, which was the original question of Rosh Hashanah and Grama. Or kfira, I'm giving a shiur in kfira, which is really a machlokas in the Gemara Bava Metzia about motiv mixos. If you're tan ochitim, hold the besarim in your kofar, how does halacha define denials of claims? So I've got a whole list of shiurim, and I get these WhatsApps from Talmidim, we're learning sugyas all of a sudden. I got one for you. So here's another one. Gilgal. Come to hear the share about Gilgal. Everyone comes to share, waiting to hear about reincarnation in other worlds. Open up above a comma. Fooled you. Here we are, Misgalgal. Shein V'Regel. Everyone walks out of the room. Last time I'm invited back to that community. Okay, so this is another one for the list. By Rav Zera. Misgalgal Mao. Gilgal. Rolling. Doesn't tell us what rolling is. But, okay. Hechidami. Kigon. The kaima amir b'shus hayachid, the kam miskalgel, the asi b'shus hayachid l'shus harabim. Okay, let's break bread here, guys. We're going to spend 2 days on the sugya. Let's start the meal. Okay? Based on the literal reading of the Gemara, whose shita makes more sense, Tosfos or Rashi? Literal reading of the Gemara. Who's Mitzias? I'm not even going to tell you what they each said. You have to get that on your own. It's January. Okay, almost. Got to get that on your own. If it's September, I'll give it to you. But January, Who makes more sense, Rashi or Tosfos?
Tosfos.
There come misgalgel v'asi. The amir, the food, is rolling from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. And the animal eats it in Rosh Hashayachid.
Rashi didn't learn like Tosfos because,
before you tell me what Rashi said, why didn't Rashi learn like Tosfos? Two words, who cares? Who cares whether food is rolling from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid? If the animal walks into Rosh Hashayachid and eats it there, who cares whether it's rolling or not, or stationary? Does that make a difference? So the mitzias of the Gemara's question, according to Tosfos, was just too strained for Rashi to accept it, which is going to force us to give a sorah for Tosfos at some point, which is always the way we break down a sugi, which is the easy pshat, which is the hard pshat. So the relatively easy pshat in the sugi is Rashi, logically. That's why Rashi broke with the text. He moved away from the textual reading, because the textual reading seems, who cares whether the food is rolling or not? Your animal walked into my rishos, ate the food, that's your bir b'steachah, as far as I can tell. Who cares whether the food is rolling? What's that make a difference? So Rashi moved away from that into a different reality. What's the scenario according to Rashi? Not rolling bread, but the bread is stationary in rishos hayachid. The animal is megalgel. Not that the food is misgalgel, the animal is migalgel. Namely, just to give our horrible, okay, I'm a man of many talents, but art is not one of them, so I have to warn you all of our visitors. Most of the boys in Shir are accustomed to my horrible art, but you're just going to have to bear with me. Okay, no one's going to mistake me for Picasso. Actually, Picasso maybe, but not Rembrandt. Okay, here's my art. Oh, okay, modern art, put into the museum, okay? But if you're trying to, okay, no one's going to mistake me. Here's the animal. Okay, it's funny art. Here's the animal. Actually, his head has to be here near Rosh Hashayachid. So, portable heads, portable tails. Here is Rosh Hashanizik. There is food in Rosh Hashanizik. The animal drags the food into Rosh Hasharabim, and it eats it there. Megalgel is not the food rolling, but the animal moving the food from Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hashanizik. Rashi, Dibra Maschil Mai. Rashi actually gives us a very lumdish articulation. Rashi's playing Reb Chaim. I'll give you the two sides of the question. This is a great Rashi. Just think about all the Rashis this year that were underworded. Where Rashi, can you tell us more? What do you really mean, Rashi? Give us the maskana. Tell us what you really mean. This is a great Rashi. Rashi's explicit. He tells us the two sides. Basar achila azlina neptura, or basar deshakla azlina v'chayevas. It snatched it from the shesayachid. That would mean you're chayiv. But it ate it in Rosh Hashanah. Shein in Rosh Hashanah is pater. Do I gauge this case based on the snatching or the eating? The lekicha is in Rosh Hashanah. The achil is in Rosh Hashanah. What generates, what occupies my interest? The lekicha or the achil? This sounds big. This sounds important to me. I don't know, I mean, I do, but you know, it sounds like this is going to be a really big question. Okay, so let's impress our visitors, guys. When you get to a duality or a question, what's the first question you ask? Which makes more sense. What's the intuitive? Because your next question is going to be, try to explain the less intuitive idea. So you break down duality. Think about one thing at a time. What would you say here? This is a little bit subtle, so if you say it different from the way I'm going to lead this year, it's fine. Tosfos on Chaf Gimel, use that as your guidepost. Tosfos on Chaf Gimel already feels that one of these is more compelling than the other. Should I gauge the lekicha, which is from Rosh Hashayachid, which would yield a chiyuv, or should I gauge the achila, which is in Rosh Hasharabim, which would generate a ptur, not generate a chiyuv? What would you say? Should nesek be determined by the snatching or by the eating? In this case, the snatching is from Rosh Hashayachid, the eating is in Rosh Hasharabim, lekicha, achila. What do you think? I see. Don't get too smart. I see your eyes already working, trying to give me fancy spars. When I have something intuitive, bring it down so we can build it slowly. Go as base level as you can. Yes? Snatching. So you think it's the snatching. Okay, why?
Because he's entering, that's the whole advantage, that he's entering someone else's field. Yes.
Okay. You're already getting too fancy for me, but I agree with you. I'm going to get less fancy. Okay, you're already too sophisticated for me. That's the pitfall of being a brisker. I have a hard time being stupid, but it's sometimes good to bring it down a little bit. I agree with you, Yossi, that the snatching is a mechayev. Why? Because that's when you impacted the victim. What does a victim care? what happens afterwards. Once you take the food is lost. Once the animal, let's break this down in physics, okay, once the animal snatches it at T0 and then eats it, here's the eating, at T1, where the animal then, this is the snatching, this is the eating, and the animal sinks its teeth into it, not its foot, this is the foot, rolling it over, this is T1, this is T0, so at T0, what's the snatching? From the Nizik's perspective, what do I care about what happens at T1? At T0, your animal took my food out of my rishus, and you should be chayav. What do I care if the animal ate it, or lost it, or sold it at Sotheby's? Like, what do I care? My impact, my victimization happened at T0, and that was from my rishus. So, Yossi, I agree with you, but you're getting a little too fancy for me. I'll get to your fancy shot later. One second, Henry. Let's see Tosus. Okay, the key to this is in Tosus. Tosus on Chaf Gimel is talking about, you talk about conceptualizations. You see, people who don't spend time in the base matters, they think that these are just hocus-pocus cases that never happen. Well, none of these cases happen. They're just concoctions to embed multiple systems of logic. So the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph on Beis has two concoctions, the two doggy Mishnahs, the two cases of the dogs. Anyone who owns a dog is a nice Mishnah. What are the two dog cases? One is a dog that jumps from a wall and breaks Kalim. Hakel Bagdish Akatsu Mina Gader. And of course, the Gemara is going to unwind Chilas of Shiva. So I'll be honest, because if it's too close to the Kalim, too far from the Kalim. So the Gemara is going to talk about the proximity between the wall and the Kalim. We'll get to that. And the second case is even more sophisticated, even more multi layered. A dog that took a piece of bread that was on fire. Okay, you don't have bread on fire today, but in those days, they cooked their bread on coals. So it's totally compatible to have a piece of bread that's on fire. Ha! Huh. Now we have an Eish Shein sandwich. Now we have Shein eating the bread. Eish, fire lighting some field. So the doggy takes the cold-filled bread to another field and eats the bread. Okay, that's Shein. Eish, that's why the conceptualization is so important. So I want to try to merge Eish and Shein into one scenario. So these cases, I promise you, never happen. Dogs don't take bread that are on fire. Silly dogs, maybe. Pyromaniac dogs, maybe. But normal dogs, not. They see bread on fire, they go to the next station. These are not cases that happen. These are conceptualizations to help us unwind the logic. So, the Gemara says on Chaf Gimel, tell us about where the dog ate the bread and why you should be chayv. We'll get to that. But in the middle, Tosva says, okay, Mishum Tasaka Daitach. Line number 3 in Tosos Chaf Gimel Manal. We'll see the connection to this case a little bit later. Dibra Maslo Tifshot. Let's read Tosos. This is really, really core alumnus, just to start the Sugya Yasi. Dimlacha Behema Peros, Bechatzar Nisak. Viachla Bisho Sarabim. Oh, that's our case. Misgalgal. It's not our case according to Tosos. Tosos Undaf Chaf reads Misgalgal different. But this is our case of Misgalgal according to Rashi. So Leo, Tosos on Chaf Gimel is giving us his opinion about Rashi's scenario. This is important. So let's hear Tosus' opinion about Rashi's scenario. An animal takes food from a Shusha Yachid, eats in a Shusha Rabim, or Bechatzah Mazim, and it's Chayev. That's why Tosus Arya didn't even learn like Rashi, because Tim is Pashit. Chayev, Dimachayvinan, Bilakicha Lechuda. Yasi, here it is. Mechayvinan, Bilakicha Lechuda. Tosus refuses to learn the case of Misgalga like Rashi, because he feels like it's a slam dunk, like Yasi said. Vechina Svaranalta. I allowed my animal to take, and that taking had some financial impact. Who cares what the animal does or where it performs the achila? And the p'tur, Rishus HaRabim, Misteacher, that means the animal takes the food in Rishus HaRabim. So Tosfos clocks in with Yossi's position. Tosfos was so convinced that Yossi was right that he couldn't even imagine an alternate logic. And therefore, Tosfos and Nafchav had to redefine the Gemara's case in Misgalgal, as we'll see tomorrow. We'll deal with Tosfos tomorrow. Today's Rashi, tomorrow's Tosfos. But Yossi's absolutely right. Before I answer your question, Henry, logic suggests that Lakicha should be decisive. Lakicha happened from Rishus HaYachid. That should determine Achiyav. Who cares about Achila? That's step 2. We're going to have to explain why Achila is important. Okay, Henry.
So you say you care about Achila, then why is it shame? I mean, if he takes it,
there has to be a subsequent achila. Because if you just take something and there's no, well, you're preempting the question. Let's see the question. Okay, Henry, take me forward. Since Henry said it, we'll get back. He's still not with your mom. Henry, take me forward. So give me your svara for achila. Henry, trying to turn your question is really important lumdus, because sometimes you think you have a question, but it's really just one side of the lumdus analysis. So you have to learn to validate your own questions. Oh, you know what? I may be saying something that's not a question, but it may be the answer. It's very hard because you're not confident enough to know that you're coming up with something meaningful. Not meaningful, but right. So Henry, what are you saying? You're right. You're 1,000,000% right. Why do we care about achila? But just abstract it and categorize it. Don't ask it as a question. Say, so my answer is, you know why achila may be important and why there may be a suffix? Because? Yeah, give me an explanation. Why?
Because it's shame.
No, you touched on an iceberg, but dig into the iceberg. Dig into the logic. Is this an answer or a question? An answer, because? And because, there's one point missing, and because? Give me broader, globalize it, abstracticize it, categorize it, and, okay, I'll tell you what, reject me, that's easy for you, argue with me, make believe you don't like me, okay, I'll make it easy for you, okay? What do you mean? The hefset happened from the lakicha! Bava Kama was all about hefset! The nizik loses the point of lakicha! Come on, argue with me, dislike me. Yes, it did, because the Nisa can't retrieve it. Come on, go higher. Go a step higher. Argue with me at a more axiological level. What?
It's only Gezel at that point. You can give it
okay, so it's Gezel. The guy lost. Because Bava Kama is not based on... It's based on... Nice and Nisa. Bava Kama isn't based on Gezel and Hefzid. Bava Kama is based on destructive acts. I'm not chayiv for my animal's gazela. Man can be a gazlan. Animals can't be a gazlan. Hashem wasn't machayiv losses that my animal causes to you. Hashem were my possession. Hashem was machayiv physical destruction of my animals to your possession. And the physical destruction happens at T1, not at T0. You see how I pushed you? So you're Henry, you're touching on, why do you call it Shane? The answer is because we do care in Bava Kama. Your answer was the logic for Basar Achila. Namely, the first way to define this question is the one who holds Basar Lakicha evidently has a view of Bava Kama that's based purely on Hefzid, as long as there's some damage later. Which sugya that we saw, I'll give you a hint, it's not in Bava Kama, is the nuclear core of this question. Whether Bava Kama is Hefzid oriented or Bava Kama is destruction, Meisen Nezek oriented. Is Bava Kama, like you argued against Yisrael David, basically animals causing Hefzid very similar to Gazlana, so we don't really care what happens to the item, it's just the dislocation of the item from the person. Or Bava Kama is an act of destruction, destroying something. Not Chai for Gazel, I'm Chai for the animal destroying something. What's ground zero for this question? Gabi?
The one in
Gittin. Okay. I'll give you the Gemara, Daphne and Hey.
Hezek
Shana Nekesh Mehezek Elash Mehezek. The chalak is between Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. What happens if the damage is not physical but halachic? Let's say I take a sheretz and place the sheretz on your truma. You're a kohen, and I'm a tama, your $1,000,000 truma plant. I've made you lose $1,000,000 because you can't use the truma. Or I take all your wine and I use it for a libation for avodah zarah. The wine still looks the same, but halachically there's a total loss. You have to throw out the wine. Chizkia says, Hezek Shein Nikar Shmei Hezek. You do pay for it, because evidently Chizkia is hefzid based. And Rabbi Yochanan is Hezek Shein Nikar. We have the pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan, which puts pressure, avi, on the basar lakicha people in the sugya. How could you all basar lakicha? The answer is, what's the answer, Henry? Even though hezek shein nikar lav shem hezek, you need a physical destruction here. Come on, break the logic. I'm creating associative logic. Break it. Even though we pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan, and Bava Kama needs an ultimate destruction, I could still say basar lakicha because in the end, there is a physical destruction. The question is, what's the critical point? When the physical destruction actually happens, or the preliminary lead-up to the physical destruction? Because essentially, to say it in Lamnisha language, is Bava Kama Meisen Nezek oriented? Or it's Hefzed B'tnai She'esh Ba Meisen Nezek oriented? You need there to be destruction, but the crux of the Mechayiv is Hefzed. It's not Gazlan without destruction, but when there is destruction, the Mechayiv is the Hefsid point. We've seen this question before. Think. Go back several weeks. Make believe it's a Giants game from several weeks ago. Whatever. That's your... Where did we see this question where there's an offset between the Hefsid and the actual, I'll give you a hint, I'll make it easy for you, the breakage. And we asked this question, whether Bava Kamma is pivoted on loss, which ultimately becomes a breakage, or Bava Kamma is pivoted on breakage and the loss is irrelevant. It's the object-oriented chiyuv. It's like the Torah doesn't really care. The Torah is an environmentalist. Don't break items. Now again, it's an environmental crime that you have to pay the victim. But it's not about the loss that you incurred. It's about breaking things that people own. Where did we see this question before? No? Of course you're right. Whether you're right or wrong, your grandfather's here. Beautiful. Best part of the year. What are you even saying to you? What did you say? Close. Dara Salakliv is Galgila Mokamacha. Rava's case. Exactly. Beautiful. Really beautiful. Where the animal kicks the Kli at T0, and then the Kli rolls and breaks a little bit later. What was Rava's question? Who remembers the language? Basar Mekar, Basar Basav. Which we had two ways to learn, but the less radical way of learning was exactly this issue. If we roll the Mycinesic backwards to the point in which all the energy has been exerted and is terminated, can we say that at that point is the critical chiyuv, or the chiyuv only happens in the breakage? In that context, what's the nafkamina? There we're not really gauging Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid offsets, whether you're chayiv, but what was the big question? Whether we call it, who remembers? Svaros and Ezek Shalim. If you look at the original point, there's bodily contact between the animal and the kli. But then the kli rolls and breaks against the wall. That sounds like tsaros, where the breakage happens without bodily contact. So it's different prisms, but you're looking at the same logic. Do you follow the beginning or the end? Here, beginning or the end is divided by different rishos. And I'll determine shein rishos seyachid, shein rishos rabin. There, the beginning or end is direct contact or secondary breakage, in which case we're determined tsaros chatzi nezek or nezek shalom. But it sounds as if it's the same question. Of course, we don't want it to be the same question, or else the Gemara would blink then. So we want to find some space between them to create autonomy to the two questions. Because what you remember is, here you don't really need to, because in both cases, the Gemara doesn't answer the questions. Rav Zera doesn't answer his question, Rava doesn't answer his question on your Zion. So it's altogether possible they're dealing with the exact same grand Bava Kamma logic, Adam. Grand Bava Kamma logic, these are large, frontline, top-level Bava Kamma questions. Do you pay for debt, for loss, financial loss, so long as there's an ultimate breakage, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Hezek Shein Nikolav Shem Hezek. Or do you pay for a breakage because you were destructive? You're not chayiv for losses your animal caused. You're chayiv for destruction, for mazikin, for Hezek. As we remember, Karen is Patrog, it's not a Shein Mazik. It's two totally different views of Bava Kamma. It's like two totally different frequencies. Is Bava Kamma victim-oriented or breakage-oriented? Object or person? There's good logic to say both. Obviously, our natural instincts say it's person-oriented because I made you lose. On the other hand, it's my animals. Why should I be chayv? If I made you lose, I'm a gazlan. Why should I be chayv from an animal making you lose? It could be there's a destructive element that's necessary in order for me to cover my animal's damages. So these could be major, major Bava Kamma issues. So let's repeat before I get to Dovi's question. Let's see how we ping-pong. We started off with Basar Lekicha, as being the obvious. Who cares about Achila? And then we tweaked from some of the guys, well, no, Bava Kamma needs a breakage. And that's why Basar Achila, and here the Achila is in Rishus HaRabim. And then, so then, what's the Basar Lekicha? We flip back to Basar Lekicha. Evidently, the Basar Lekicha tzad is that you don't need breakage. The breakage is only secondary. The point of Lechiv is the snatching and the loss. Namely, the first way, okay, then I'll answer your question, Navi. The first way to understand Basar, I'll just show you the ping pong and then the conclusion. We start with Basar Lekicha as the obvious. We move to then give a svara for Basar Achila. And the svara of Basar Achila is we care, as Henry said, about the Maisa Nezek and the qualities of the Maisa Nezek, the motivation of the Maisa Nezek. So then if we care about Maisa Nezek, and that sounds Bava Kamma logical, then how do you explain Basar Lekicha? The answer is, all we care about is Hefsid, Sheyesh Bo Nezek. So this is our ping-ponging logic. We went started with the intuitive, explained the less intuitive, ping-pong back to the original. In terms of now drawing a conclusion, not the process, one way to understand Basar Lekicha is Hefsid. The big chiddush is that Hefsid is enough as long as there's a breakage. Okay? we're going to, in terms of our coordinates, give a different svar for basa lakicha. We'll call that X, and this is going to be today's shiur. Several nafkaminos to the two ways to view basa lakicha. So in terms of getting your coordinates straight in the sugya, we're trying to probe basa lakicha. We thought basa lakicha was so obvious, but Yossi and Yisrael and Henry convinced us no. If anything, Basar Achila is more obvious because that's the point of the Maisa Nezek, and we all know that Bava Kama is pivoted on a Maisa Nezek. So now, the pshat we thought was so obvious, we have to try to defend. How do we explain Basar Lekicha when Maisa Nezek is so obviously central to Bava Kama? So one way is to bump it back to Hefzed, a major Bava Kama statement. We'll see in a few moments another way to explain this. Okay? Dovi.
In our case, isn't the actions like completely separable, meaning one doesn't need the other to happen. Meaning I could eat it right there and then. Like it doesn't. They're not.
Okay, good point. We'll talk about it. Okay, we'll talk about it. Say your question differently. Based on the logic of lakicha, how important is it for the lakicha and the chila to be integrated? And you're saying right now that based on the logic we've just suggested, you would require integration. This doesn't sound integrated. Okay, so you're asking an important question. But put in, again, it's so much of love to say, oh, I have a really good question. It's probably part of the sukkah. Let me see where it plays in the sukkah. So let's wait and see. Let's try to develop a different logic for basa lakicha. And then we'll say, well, maybe one of the nafkaminas will be, does there need to be some degree of integration or cooperation between lakicha and achila? Okay? Yes, Avi.
Doesn't basa lakicha only make sense according to the Zarasakasa method? Like, if you say the other way is being putter or just a rabbit, it doesn't make sense if you would be putter or if you would be going and taking the animal, be taking the thing out of their just yuck and then be.
I'm not so sure if it's orche and the animal is close enough to the shisarab and it just pulls it in naturally.
Okay.
Let's assume. Let's just assume because we want to fix the variables that we're not analyzing. Let's assume you're right. The basa lakicha makes sense. Maisa nezek. Where's the maisa nezek? But again, we don't have to defend the simple formal pshat. We have to try to prove other pshats. The fact that a position could be based on zeres akasav, that's conventional. We don't have to defend the conventional. We're trying to find the paradigm shift. Okay, so it's not hard for me to swallow that scenario where the basar achila shita is based on the normal way to view the pterosh asara. Okay, great. Okay, yes.
I think you could say even if you hold according to the tzaddik, it's about the kicha that really is still totally a masa nezek. It's just when you take it, that's like the start of the masa nezek. Like it's a prerequisite for eating it. It's part of.
Well, that's basically what we're saying. It's the preliminary part that causes a hefzeh that ends up in the masa nezek. It's not that much different. It's like radiation, and you're moving it less away from the global bava kama and less of a global issue, more of a specific issue. How do I gauge the maisa nezek? Okay, but it's not. You'll see that the new paradigm we're going to introduce is a totally new paradigm. Okay? You'll hear, I'll use your phraseology to set up the next shot. Okay, so far, the way we've justified basar lakicha, which here would make you chayiv, is it's a lead up to the achila. It's a hefzet that causes the achila. Or it's not the conclusive maisa nezek, it's the preliminary part and a part that causes a financial loss, which in Bava Kama terms is crucial. Okay? Can anyone give me another svar for basa lakicha? It's not that the lakicha is mechayev me because it's a lead up to the eating that takes place at T1. Can anyone villainize the lakicha without incriminating it just because it's the preliminary stage to the achila? How can I villainize lakicha? What does basa lakicha really mean to you? I'm setting you up. I'm trying to provoke you. I'm trying to incite you. What does lakicha really mean? So far, Adir gave me some slightly different nuanced view. It's the hefzeh that causes that. It's all the same. It's all itty-bitty, teeny-weeny little distinctions. I want to go for the big pop. What does basa lakicha mean? Why should I be chayev Avi Kohen if the eating took place in Rosh Hashanah? And after all, Rosh Hashanah is where the nezek took place. What does basa lakicha mean to you? Elisha?
It's the invasion. Sorry.
One word. Invasion. Beautiful. You see the difference there? The basa lakicha tzad is not saying, oh, we need an achila, but this is the build-up to the achila, because it starts the achila. We'll see this in Mitzvah Shem Dovi. It has to be incorporated in the achila. No! You know why you're chayiv when Shane and Rishus are yachid? Avi, change the question. Not why you patur and Rishus are rapim. Why you chayiv and Rishus are yachid? You know what the chayiv of Rishus are yachid is? Not a nezek that happened to take place in a particular zone as opposed to another zone with their extenuating factors to make you patur. You know what bir b'stei acher means? Starts with I and ends with vasion. Invasion of my realm. Your animal trespassed, encroached, offsides, came into my house. You're chayiv for that. Now, of course, if the animal sings the Star Spangled Banner and walks out, there's no payment. We don't make you pay for non-financially impactful activities, as criminals they are. If I dug the worst bore, the bore of Parshas Vayeshev, with the Chashim and Akravim at the bottom, and Spanish boot spikes coming out of the sides, and I don't know, terrible fume gases, and yeshiva food. I mean, whatever. The bore is horrible. But no one falls in. I'm a bad guy, but I don't pay. There has to be some impact for payment. But the impact could be conditional, not pivotal. Adir, what you said, the impact is not conditional, it's pivotal. But this is the lead up. This is the hefzer that causes it. Whereas this may be our moment. We've been talking about this a lot the last couple of days. It's going to be a second to say it and then answer the question. This may be our moment. And Avi, it's a paradigm shifter. Because until now we've been saying, why is Rishus HaRabim Pater? Because it's a Gezeiras HaKasuv. Because it's Orche, there's no Pshia. Alex, because it's Pshia Sanizik by putting your fruit on Pico Boulevard. It's in Los Angeles. They think it's Fifth Avenue. It's a small little street. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. Okay, so you put it on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. Now, Ari, it's a total shift. Not as why Rishus HaRabim Pater. Why is Rishus HaRabim Chayim? Rishus HaRabim is Pater because there's no starter. It's no Chiyav. The whole Chiyav is not Nezek where it takes place. If the Mechayev of Shane is Nezek, then you have to say, well, where it takes place, and why if it takes place in Rishus HaRabim Pater. Once I shift the goalposts and I say the Mechayev of Shein is not Nezek, but it's invasion, why are you Pater in Rishus HaRabim? There's no invasion. It's not that I have to find the reason, Yehuda. Oh, it's Orche. Oh, it's Pshias and Nezek. Oh, I don't say any O's. It's just no invasion. I redefine the Chiyav in a way that naturally excludes Rishus HaRabim. We sense that it's here, but here's our moment. I'm trying to teach you not just to say things, but draw them from, where do you see them? Someone stops you in Rishus HaRabim and asks you, which Gemara makes it sound like Torah Shein and Regel in Rishus HaRabim Pshias and Nizik? Whip out your Bava Kama to Chav Aleph from the base. Amar Lei, Lav Kol Kaminach, say Rav. If someone asks you, prove to me that the Chiv Rishus HaYachet and by extension the Torah Shein HaRabim is invasion or lack, whip out your Rashi from Daf Chav, Misgalgil. Basa Lakicha. Why should Lakicha be so crucial if Bava Kama is based on damaged items? The answer is, Bava Kama is based on damaged items if you're talking about Bor, Eish, and Karen. But if once the animal walks into my Rishus, that's a whole different Bava Kama. That's a whole different Chiyav. That's invasion that renders what happens afterwards completely ancillary. Because your animal walked into my Rishus, and you're Chayav for that. And that's a whole different way to say Basa Lakicha. That's not just moving the dynamics, Adir, between the Maisa Nezik and the Hefzid. It's creating an entirely different track called trespass. And I'll answer your question in a moment. That's going to be our question today. We'll talk a little bit about this paradigm that we've been alluding to for the last week. We'll see if other people may have said it. And then, Dovi, we'll get back to your question. What's the difference between Basar Lakicha, which in this case means Chayiv, because it's Rishus HaYachid, based on Hefzid, Hamevi, Lidei Nezek Adir, Hefzid, which ultimately creates the breakage, or explaining Basa Lakicha as invasion. Kenisa Rishus HaYachid. What are the nafkaminas in Basa Lakicha? This is a very, very abstract share because we don't know the answer to this question. This question remains open-ended. Where does it answer? So we're going to ask, what would the question still apply in this case? Would the question still apply in this case? There'll be one nafkamina lalacha in the Rambam, which we'll see. Okay, Henry.
Sure, technically it's just like lacholas raila, not whether it's to invade almanas eventually. It's not like you only want to eat.
Okay, so you're convinced the Mishnah contradicts. The word achilah can mean many things. I'm not going to argue with you because it's just a personal judgment how literally you read the words, but
Yes, Alicia.
Rashi feels comfortable flipping the Rishuyos also.
Oh, good question. Rashi may or may not, but who does?
The Ravid.
Not the Ravid? Rambam. So your question is, can I take this question and invert it? That may depend on what type of pasuk lakicha. Start thinking about it. So your question, and Dovi's question, and Henry's question before, they're all part of the Lamdasha calculus board. Take your questions instead of asking them. Your mind has to switch. You're raising an opinion. Why would I say it? Why wouldn't I say it? Okay? Okay. Here's a trick question. Based on the expanded Makaras I gave you yesterday, who do you think would be the granddaddy, the grandmaster, who would say, once you enter Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you know what I do? Pay up. Because once you enter Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we're talking about a whole different track. I don't ask what happened. Again, you need some damage, but okay, I'll open my eyes now. Which Tana am I describing? Oh, excellent. I'm describing a Tana who would say, who did he say this? Henry, I think you said it before. I forget, I think you said it. Once I enter Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I ignore Karen and Shane. You said it before. You have to worry about whether it's Karen and Shane. What if I find a Tana that says that once you enter Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you pay Nezek Shalim regardless? Even if it's Karen. That's Rabbi Tarfon. Wow, the power of Lumbus, huh? Why would Rabbi Tarfon say that Karen pays Nezek? Karen is the only Chatsi Nezek. Why would Rabbi Tarfon say that Karen Tam pays Nezek Shalim Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Well, that's his exegesis, so he gets to it. Is Rabbi Tarfon just saying that something about Rosh Hashanah Yachid changes the internal dynamics of Karen? Is it a Karen Chedesh? Or is Rabbi Tarfon saying, once you enter Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I don't really care what happens afterwards, because the primary chiv is the entry, as long as there's some damage. So I don't care about the incentive of the damage afterwards. You pay for entering. Just because you may not have seen it, we have some guests, let's just see just the Mishnah, you can have a reference point, because we're not going to get to this Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah, Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Shar HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik, Kezad, Nagach, Nagaf, Nashach, Ravatz, Bat, Karen, B'Rishus HaRabim, Chatzin Nezik, B'Rishus HaNizik, Karen B'Rishus HaNizik, here's the Chiddush. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nezek Shalim. Chamer Mechasi Nezek. Could this be Rabbi Tarfon? Could Ruzera's question, according to Rashi, on Daf Chaf, basically be Rabbi Tarfon and the Chacham's Machlokas recycled? Of course, you can separate the Machlokas, and what you say by one doesn't have to. Can we associate that Ruzera's question was really the Machlokas of Rabbi Tarfon and the Chacham? If you hold invasion, then you hold the Rabbi Tarfon. Again, set it up for me. Rabbi Tarfon has two assumptions. What are Rabbi Tarfon's two assumptions? Okay, let me ask you differently. If you argue in Rabbi Tarfon, does it mean that you have to reject the invasion theory? Rabbi Tarfon has two assumptions. A, that entering Rosh Hashanah Yachid is invasion. B, once it's invasion, I ignore Karen and Shane. By arguing in Rabbi Tarfon and saying Chatzi Nezek and Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I could either reject the whole invasion theory, or I could say entering Rosh Hashanah Yachid is still chayv because of invasion, but I still care about Karen and Shane because of the Karen discount. So just because I adopt the invasion theory doesn't mean I have to homogenize Karen and Shane. We often radicalize. You say, oh, once it's invasion, who cares what happens? I convince you. I fooled you. So just because I hold like the Chachamim and I say Chatzi Nezek Rosh Hashanah Yachid doesn't mean that I've already decided against invasion, because that would shut down this version of Rabbi Zeir and Daf Chaf. I could still hold Yehuda like the Chachamim and say, look, I'm a fan of invasion, and it's a legitimate question on Daf Chaf, Basar Lekicha, Basar Achila, but I'm not willing to say that once you invade, Karen is Nezek Shalom. That's already an escalation I'm not willing to take. Tafra made two assumptions, according to this logic. One is that once you enter, there's an invasion Chayiv, and once the track that you're Chayiv is invasion, I fooled you, I said it so quickly, you think I'm right, but I think, stop thinking I'm right with the thing I'm saying, argue with me. Because invasion doesn't mean we're homogenized, Karen and Shane. So just because you hold like a Chachamim, which we all hold like, we don't possibly like a Tarfon, doesn't mean we've shut the book on this question. It's a very important twill I'm giving you. Just when you associate machloksin that based on the same logic, you have to still leave room to break them away, or else what you paskin in one will determine what you say in the other. Here, yes, we have a clear psak that Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we don't hold like a Tarfon. So if I'm saying it's the same machlokas, so once we get to the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet, the Bezer's question is rendered irrelevant. Well, Tosfos felt it was. That's why he changed the question on Misgalgal. But we still want this question, Davi, to be a live question on Daf Chaf. So if it's to be a live question on Daf Chaf, and to associate it with a Machlokas Tanayim on Daf Chaf Gimel, we have to say that Reb Tarfon is taking two assumptions. Rabbanan can argue on the fundamental assumption or the applicational assumption. We don't really know which one the Chachamim are arguing against. Which other Machlokas that you saw yesterday in your Makaros, not just homogenizing Karen and Shane in Rishus HaYachid, but which other discussion, right? Today we're going to show the power of Lamdus is once you categorize, you can then globalize. Once you take a detail and you turn it into a concept, that concept is going to reach far beyond your local sukkah. That's the power of categorization. When you take a detail, right? Talked about this on Hanukkah. The Greeks were great classifiers. So if I just look at the natural world, look at bugs, a million bugs. Once I classify them, this bug belongs to this category, then when I see other bugs in it, oh, that belongs to the category. I can create associations. So categorical thinking allows you to order large systems. So which other halacha, right? So far we've talked about basar l'kicha, basar achila, the question of the animal, which is a conceptualization. Do you look at T0, T1? Second case is, do you homogenize the chiyav once you enter Rishus HaYachid? What's the third discussion we saw yesterday, which may be a product of this, and we may be hitting gold now, because we're going to find something that we've been looking for a couple of days. What am I talking about? What? Okay, say it as a category. Okay, assessing payments. Very good. Payment assessment. Shouldn't the question of why Shane is chayiv in Rishus HaYachid affect how you pay? It should affect T0, T1, Rishus Ram, Rishus HaYachid, Patur Chiyiv. It should affect whether Shane and Karen are homogenized, or Tarfin and Chachamim. And in theory, it should accept how much you pay. What do you mean? Well, let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah, beginning of Parak Shishi. We already know, Bava Kama veterans know that the two block between Nun Hay and Nun Zion are crucial to Bava Kama. They're just embedded 55 block later because the Gemara gets lost in 50 sidebars about Kofar and Nezem, Muad and Bor. Well, Bor is not yet, but Bor was a little bit before. But these Gemaras are crucial. Shmira Pechusa, Shmira Meula, the Chiv of Aganav, when he takes out the animal, like basic DNA of Bava Kama is splattered in the middle of the sixth parak of Bava Kama. In fact, I'm happy to hear some high schools, I asked them, you're learning, I forget, there's one high school, I forget what you're learning Bava Kama, and they started from the sixth parak. So there must be someone that knows what they're doing. You can tell. If you start from the sixth parak, unless they're running away from the first parak, which also means that they know what they're doing, because the first parak is very hard to teach high school kids, because the beginning is all just limudim. So that's where he moves very quickly through the first parak. Anyway, so here we are in Daf Nun Hamid Beis, the tail end of the Mishnah. There's a lot of drama in the beginning of the Mishnah about the Ganavim and the Shemir Pechusa, Shemir Meula. A lot of people don't make it to the end of the Mishnah. So a lot of the end of the Mishnah. What happens at the end of the Mishnah? Ketzad, Mishalem is Mashe Zika. How do you pay? What do you mean, how do you pay? Animal ate fruit. You assess the value of the fruit, Natan. What's the big deal? Yeah, but do you assess the value of the fruit independently or value the fruit based on the field? How much does a row of fruit cost? Argument say $100. A row of, what did you guys pick in when we went down south?
Celery.
Row of celery, $100. Not really, but yes, it'll make it. But if you take a big, big field of celery and you assess it to mean, let's say it's worth $100,000, minus one row will be $50, right? If I sell you the field and say, look, I can't give you that row, the row got damaged. When you assess an object, a specific item, on a larger scale, the loss is much less. The depreciation is much less. How much could 20 celery sticks fetch in this grocery? $100. But if I say a field with hundreds of thousands of celery sticks, mine it would be $100,000. Minus 100 celery sticks, it'll be a loss of $50. So do I assess the fruit on their own, or do I assess the damage based on the field? Let's see the Mishnah. Ketzad mishalemes mashe hezika. Last couple lines of the Mishnah. Shamin beisa biosa sada. Okay? Chachamim didn't have ways to measure. In the days of Chazal, they didn't have length and distance beyond just the amos. So very often, large areas were measured by capacity. Beisa is the capacity to produce a sav chidin. It's, of course, very, very blunt forms of measurement. To increase technology, you have to have finer ways to measure. Right? One day, some of you will go into research, right? And you can't go into a laboratory and say, okay, what happens if I take you know, three polymers of titanium and 20 degrees heat, and I expose it to heat for, I don't know, a couple minutes, you know, give or take. I don't want to go up in your spaceship to NASA. No, 3.2 seconds at X point Y temperature, 3.6 quantity, quantification and measurement schemes are crucial to the advance of technology. They just didn't have it. Their amma was your arm. Your arm is smaller than my arm, and my arm is smaller than, I don't know, what's that guy's name? The big guy who just, the NBA guy who just, the tall guy? He got, probably got a bigger wingspan than me. So in those days, it didn't make a difference. You measure it with your amma, not such a big deal. But the ability to measure things more carefully is something that the modern world has brought. So, for example, Chazal measured distance or measured time in distance. You didn't have minutes. So when do you make a Tilas HaDerech? The time it takes to cover a parsa. They didn't have 15, 20 minutes. They should have said a journey of 45 minutes, whatever it is, make a Tilas HaDerech, less 40 minutes, a journey of a parsa. So here the same thing, Chazal, when they measure a Beisa, it's based on capacity. The amount of land necessary to produce a Beisa. Shaman Beisa Be'osa Sada. You take, we'll say, a certain tract of land. Kama Hoysa Yafa, V'kama Hi Yafa. Which would favor the Mazik, you pay much less. So the actual damage in real time is $100 because you've lost 20 celery sticks. But you only pay $50 because the field depreciated much less than the actual items lost. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. I'm a straight shooter. Achla Peros Gemurim, Mishalemes Peros Gemurim. Im Sa, Sa. Im Satayim, Satayim. How much did you eat? How much did you pay? Okay, the wheels of Lamdus are starting to turn. What would you say intuitively? How much the fruit's worth or how much the field appreciated? Before, Yossi Sherman, you came to Shir today. Big stinker. Big. What would you say before you came to Shir today? Everyone in the world would say? Fruits, what's great. Why in the world would you assess it based on the field? The answer is because it is an attack on the field. Everyone be careful, because I'm going to be very, very subtle right now, so listen carefully, otherwise you won't follow. This is a very specific case. What makes this specific? Why is this an attack on the field, not just an invasion? What's the X factor here? As opposed to all the shains we've been conceptualizing until now, here you pay based on the appreciation of the field. I'm calling it not an invasion. I'm calling it an attack on the field because you are?
You're also depreciating the field itself.
And why? What's the X factor here as opposed to all the Shane scenarios? And our Gemara, what's happening here? The fruit that you're eating is attached to the ground. So by eating fruits attached to the ground, you're not just invading. You are literally attacking the field. I could very easily look at my hands, shrink this whole conversation just above a kama nun hei. Our question is, once you see that by eating attached fruits, you are attacking the field, could I also say that by destroying non-attached fruits or vessels, it's not attacking the field, but it's invading the field? Let's say broadening of the same category. Just because I say the Chachamim on Daf Nun Hei doesn't mean I have to give this invasion theory. But this is the birth of the invasion theory. Once we redirect the damage from fruits, vegetables, vessels, kalim that were broken, to the larger space that was attacked. Here I attack the space literally by, look at me, sinking my teeth into the ground, eating the fruit from the ground. Can I say that just like an animal that eats fruit that are attached to the ground is attacking the field, similarly an animal that walks into a field and breaks kalim or eats fruits that are on the dining room table is attacking the space in the area, even though the fruits are not organically connected to the area? That's, and we'll see this in a moment in the Gemara, that's our larger question. Just because you say that you're attacking the field on Nun Hei and you pay for attacking the field on Nun Hei doesn't mean you jump right to the invasion theory. You could say that when I enter a land and eat fruits from the field, I'm basically attacking the field. When I enter the house and eat kalim, I'm attacking the kalim in the house. But the mechayev is the object that I damage. It happens to be when fruits are attached, the object damages the land. When fruits are detached, the object damages the peros. I haven't said invasion. You're not chayiv for the attack on the land. You're chayiv because you damage the land where the fruits are attached. Let's see where this comes from because this is going to be crucial. Now, guys, let's shift from lamdas into reading text carefully because that's the key to lamdas. Don't just leave it up here. Bring it down here. Let's see the Gemara Nun Chesem and Beis. Ketzad mishalemes masha hezika. Top of the Gemara. Ketzad mishalemes masha hezika. Minahan imili. Where do we know this payment scheme, this strange Yasi payment scheme? Because everyone in their right mind would say, you pay the payros, not the land. How do the Chachamim get to the assessment based on land? Minahan imili. When a Gemara asks minahan imili about X, it's because Y doesn't need a minahan imili. Learn that trick. Whenever the Gemara says minahan imili, whenever Rishon says my tami d'abaye, because Rava doesn't need a svar. We are trying to recapture the way they thought. We're not building new ways of thinking. We're just systematizing the way the Gemara thought. We're creating a methodology and a language for the way the Gemara thought. So minahan imili, how do I know that you pay based on land? Because it's obvious you pay based on payros. Minahan imili, Amar Rav Masna, ha, our pasuk, beautiful. Amar Rav Masna, the Amar Kra ubi'er b'stei acher. Okay, what's the, this is a good Tanakh, if you're into Tanakh. I know you learn a lot of Tanakh. So what's the key letter now that's shifting? Give me the one letter in this pasuk that's now shifting and tell me what it meant before this drasha, what it means after this drasha. First tell me the letter that's shifting in the Gemara's new drasha. Okay, I'm asking you to abstract three levels here. What letter is shifting, Adam? The bet. Of bistay, the two beds will be a bistay. The word bistay. Until now, we thought the word bistay meant one word. Okay, give me one word. I'm trying to get your mind to be sharp. Ooh. Location. Where the nezek took place. Now the base is becoming not location, but object being damaged. Beer bistay acher. You are eating the field. Beer bistay acher used to mean Ari. Where? Now, bistei acher means what? If you attack the land, you pay based on the land depreciation. Ubi'er bistei acher. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, how could one pasuk mean two things? And a lamdam's dream is going to be, can I make it as if there are two pesukim here? Remember, we've been looking for two pesukim, two mechayev and moshein? This may be our moment. Let's follow the Gemara. Gemara says, "Hi, line number four. Ubir b'steacher mi boile lafuke rishus harabim. I already needed to tell me that damages in rishus harabim are putter. How can you tell me that it applies to attacking objects that are attached to the land and assessing it based on the land?" Gemara says, "Im kain lichtov rachmana ubir b'steachavero in nami steacher. My b'steacher." Sheshamin al gab sade acher. There are two limudim in this pasuk. This pasuk accounts for two halachos. One halacha, shesarab mispater shesayach is chayiv. Two halachos, that when you eat fruits attached to land, the assessment is based on the land, not based on the fruits. Because if it just would have taught us the Rishus HaRab Malacha, you shouldn't have had the base. You should have said Steyach, or Beer Steyach. Why does it say Bis Steyach? Because I have two. Now, if you really want to get super alumnus, which I'm not going to take, the question is, which teaches us what? There are two limudim here, Steyach and Bis Steyach. Contact points here. Steyach, not Rishus HaRab. Bis Steyach, when you eat fruit attached to the land, you assess based on the land. Could this halacha be the source of our invasion theory? I'll say it again. One way is to say absolutely not. This Gemara is a localized halacha. When you walk into my rishos and eat peros on the table, or break kalim, or rampage through my living room, that's damage in a location, which is mechayvim. When you eat fruit attached to the land, and you're damaging the land. And there's no invasion. Anyone following Dafyomi? Get this, I'll be really impressed. Who thought that this assessment is not some broad Bava Kama theory when I'm damaging the land, the invasion? It's just the kula for the mazik. I'll give you a little hint. Sounds familiar, huh? Anyone? What? Ravo Mem Zayin. Ravo Mavakama Mem Zayin said, you know what, we'll go easy on the mazik. Remember the animal who's pregnant? And you damage the animal and the fetus. And Rava says, do you assess the entire, do you pay, if the animal was pregnant and one person owned the animal and the fetus, you reduce the payment. And if you damage an Evid's hand, you don't pay how much the hand is worth, it's worth $1 million, but you pay Evid with hand as opposed to not hand. Because Im Kain, if you're going to make it too hard, you're going to machash lay the mazik. And you remember Daf Mem Zayin? And then Rava quoted this halacha. If you walk into a shisayach and you eat a row of cucumbers, don't pay $100, pay $50. It's basically, by generalizing Yehuda, Rav is telling us there's nothing to do with the specifics of Shein. Of course, Abai rejected Rav of Nerim Mem Zayin. So I have many ways, Ari, to read this Gemara without going nuclear and saying, oh, from this Gemara you see that just like when you eat a row of attached fruit, you're affecting the land, so too when you come into my house and eat fruit from the table, you're attacking my land because you're invading it, and basically invasion can take two forms, either direct eating the land or just invading and doing something criminal in my house. What difference does it make? I don't have to connect Daf Nun Hei to our Gemara. But if I'm looking for a Gemara that tells me there's a fundamental difference between objects and the land is the victim. Here the land seems like it's the victim. Bisteacher Adam. Once the land is the victim when the fruit is attached, my mind starts asking, could the land also be a victim even if the fruit is not attached, because you encroached upon my land and you did something criminal. This could be the source of what we're looking for. And lo and behold, we have two limudim. We'll get back to these two limudim, mitzvashem, as we continue through our odyssey, through Shein v'regel b'shusarabim. So let's pull it all back. Let's review what we've said. And in the 20 minutes that remain, let's think of three nafka minas. Okay? We have two ways to fix the chiyav umbasa l'kicha. We started with assuming Lakicha makes more sense, but then Yisrael David and Yossi and Henry flipped it. They said, no, it makes less sense. Because we all know Bava Kama is dependent upon ultimate breakage. And it depends upon Achila, and the Achila took place in Rosh Hasharabim, which should make it Patravi, because it's Shein in Rosh Hasharabim. How in the world can we justify the tzad, the side, the logic for Basa Lakicha, which took place in Rosh Hashiach? So one answer is, okay, because Bava Kama is Hefzid-oriented, less Maisenezek-oriented, in one form or another. Another way to say, you know what, when an animal enters a Shesayachid, the entry is the act, not the damage. The entry, the invasion, the encroachment, you're chayiv for trespassing, as long as there's someone to pay. I totally decentralize, I marginalize the breakage. You're right, in Bava Kama, in Bor, in Eish, and all that, I care about breakage. Once animals enter, it's about encroachment and trespass and violation of my private domain, and that happens when the animal sticks its neck into my rishus and grabs the peiros out, and that's an invasion of rishus hayachid by basar l'kichas li'an. We use this as an opportunity to discuss in general. Where else in Bava Kama did we talk about invasion? So I'll get back to the Ramban at some other point. We're running late today. But we talked about two new vistas for this idea. One is Rabbi Tarfon, who homogenizes Karen and Shane once the animal enters Rosh Hashayachid. Is this what Reb Tarfon is saying? Once the animal enters Rosh Hashayachid, you're chayiv for the entry. I don't care why the animal then eats. Does it kick or gore or eat or urinate, which is Shane? I don't care. You're chayiv for the entry so long as there's some damage. Is this Reb Tarfon? Is this the Chachamim? Are the Chachamim on Daf Nun Hei just giving me Alex some Chiddush and assessment, like Rava thought they were? Do you assess it based on the field? Doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, because it's a local pasuk the Gemara quotes. Is the Gemara telling me, okay, Ari, normally there's Shein, but when you attack food on a table, the object being damaged is the food. When you eat food that's attached to the ground, the object being damaged is the ground. But that's not telling me some new Chiddush. Adam, the Chiyav is going to Rosh Hashayachid and attacking an item. We just have to decide what the item is. The item normally is fruit. Sometimes the item is the ground, because you ate it from the ground. Or are the Chachamim redefining? Once an animal walks in, it's a whole new paradigm. It's a whole new pasuk. And the animal can walk, can attack the field by eating the fruit, but the animal can also attack the field by walking into the house. And there the attack is not the physical teeth into the ground, but it's the walking into my house and then doing some damage. in which case the Chachamim are also abiding by invasion. You can break apart these three questions, three different questions, but they're all glued together by the same common logic. One question is basa l'kicha, basa l'achicha. One question is b'tarfon or not b'tarfon. One question is payment assessment. They can be broken apart, but all three questions seem to be swirling around the same vortex, the same issue. Is there a new chiyuv by invading Rishus HaYachid? Now what we're going to talk about is, Dovi, I know you've been very patient, what are the nafgaminos between basar lekicha as the preliminary stage for the ultimate achila? Option one, it's the hefsid that leads to the breakage. Or basar lekicha as a standalone autonomous chiyuv so long as there's some payment to be made. Those are our two ways of viewing basa l'kicha. One way of viewing basa l'kicha is, look, in the end, the animal's going to eat this. We need the animal to eat it. But the eating, a deer, or the hefsid that will be caused by the eating happens already at T0. As opposed to saying, I don't really care about T1. It all happens in T0. I don't care about T0 as a lead up to T1. The l'kicha as a lead up to the achila. L'kicha is a crime. Sticking your head into my rishos, or actually walking to my rishos, but even sticking your head into my rishos, that's offsides. Come on, football fans. Easy for you to understand. It's offsides. You get penalized for offsides. Games are lost because of offsides. Your animals, offsides. Even I know how to make the signs. Not so old. Offsides. Okay, now, in the NFL, you get 5 yards penalty, even if it didn't make a difference. Above a comma, offsides only gets penalized if it makes a difference. The animal's offsides and jumps back. No big deal. Animal's offsides. While it's offsides, it spits at the quarterback. Okay, now you get 5 yards. It's an animal. My Rishus wasn't just offsides, but it did something terrible. But it's the offsides. Not because the process began. What's the nafgamina, Dovi? The lakicha and the achila have to be integrated at some level. What would happen if there's a lakicha that has nothing to do logically with the achila? This is a very, very abstract question, Hillel, because we don't know the answer, whether we even paskin basa l'kicha. So I can't open a Shulchan Aruch and tell you. But when the Gemara said basa l'kicha, was it only describing the situation here, where the animal took and ate? Or even if the l'kicha was unrelated to the achila? So tell me which Rishon, I'm not going to tell you his origin, which Rishon learned the sugya the way we're learning and felt that it has to be a lakicha incorporated with achila, model one, not a standalone lakicha, model two? Which Rishon changed the facts of the sugya dramatically in order to have an integration, Dovi? You said, right. What does the Ravid say? Changes the facts. He's in Rashi's model. He's not in Tosis' model. We'll see Tosis tomorrow. You're welcome back. He tells us tomorrow. Okay, that'd be really hardcore. Yeah, really, once again, it comes to 48 hours. Don't worry. Okay, we have the model. What does the rabbit add? The animal took it from Rishus HaYachid and started eating in Rishus HaYachid and continued the eating in Rishus HaRabbit. Whoa. We call that a, when you technically adjust the Gemara in a way that it doesn't sound like it's describing, we call that a new? Okimta. Okimta is the sign of fear. Lamdash of fear. The Ravid evidently learned that basa l'kicha is, Dovi, the preliminary. But how could it be preliminary if none of the achila starts in T0? So the Ravid had to move the goalposts, change the definition. Let's see Ravid in his first shot. I mean, this should leap out at you when you see the Ravid. The Ravid, if you have a Ravid, please look inside. Okay, since it's such an important Ravid, I'll even WhatsApp it to everyone so everyone can see the Ravid inside. It's one word. In my Ravid, it's actually, you have to learn the Tarragon style. Underline is level one importance. Double underline is DEFCON 3. Circle, full out war. Okay, so different levels of importance. So when you see a circle, that's an important word. Get ready. Misgalgel mahu nuscha dilan kigon dikachla birshus har yachid vika megalgel v'asilus hasarabin perish kigon. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow. Shenichnasa lushus hayachid. He actually changes the metzias, not just the head, but walked in. V'schila lechol sham v'net lemisham v'gamra. Actually, I should have the word Eschila. Anyone have a pencil? Okay, I'll circle the word Eschila. Okay, V'Eschila Lechol Sham. That's not the way the Gemara reads, Eliyahu. The Gemara reads L'Kicha Nachila. Sounds like it's very binary. L'Kicha Nishas Yachid, Achila Nishas Rabin. The Ravid fudges the two. He blurs the two. Nachila starts, it doesn't end. So what's clear, Hillel, is the part of the Achila took place in Rishas Yachid, there's no question. The animal stuck its head in and ate $10 worth of the food in Rishas Yachid. That's not part of the question. The question is, once the animal pays for the $10 of food, quantity of food in Rishas Yachid, what happens to the other 90 that it consumed in Rishas Rabin? But at least you have Dovi Tchila Sachila in Rishas Yachid. So this is a very extreme version of Model A. The animal has to actually start eating. And the Ravid is so extreme, Henry, that he has to change the Metzius. What happens if we take the concept but moderate it a little bit? Look. I'm still gauging level of incorporation between Lekich and Achila. But in order for them to be incorporated, I don't need the animal to start to eat. Come on. That's second grade. I just need that the Lekicha service the Achila. What would happen if the Lekicha didn't service the Achila? How would we gauge whether the Lekicha services? So Adam, the Ravid says you have to actually start eating. Take the Ravid and moderate it a little bit. I don't need that I start eating, but I need a Lekicha that services. Okay, so someone help me. This would be a Lekicha that services the Achila. Stretch. Okay, this is a very uncomfortable way to eat. Just think about Pesach night. We're supposed to be comfortable, but we're not. Because we're trying to lean on our pillows. Seva. This is not such a fun way to eat. What's a better way to eat? Bring it back and sit at the table like a bench, like your mother says. Right? Sit up like a bench. This would not be a fun way to eat for animals. When the animal sticks its neck in or... Okay? So this transport, the lekicha, would service the achila, the grabbing. For the animal just to... like that, that wouldn't be comfortable. Because the animal is in Rishas HaRabim, right? That's where it is. For whatever reason, it feels more comfortable there. It's harder to get in. So it sticks its neck through the thicket, which is separating Rishas HaRabim and Rishas HaYachad, through the bush. And this would be really uncomfortable animal to eat. So the lekicha, taking it, grabbing it, is servicing the achila. Even if the animal doesn't start to eat and start munching, lekicha services the achila. Can anyone... Look at me, here's a hint. Think of a case where the lekicha doesn't really service the achila. And maybe in that case, if we take basa lekicha model one, we won't say basa lekicha. What case am I talking about? You saw that. Okay, that's one case. Okay, we'll talk about maybe the Rambam. Another case. Kelev shenat l'charara. What happens if the animal took it not to eat in Rishas HaRabim, but to take it to another place to eat? That lekicha isn't an integrated part of the achila. It doesn't happen at the same time. It's not part of the same motion. This is lekicha that's part of achila. Because the movement from neck stretch, from neck extension, normal, is part of the achila process, even if the animal doesn't start munching, according to the writing. What happens if the animal takes the fruit and then it walks into Rishas HaYachid, which is what you were saying, Yisrael David, and then the animal says, you know what, I don't want to slum in Riverdale. I want to live the high life in Henry Wilde's apartment on the Upper West Side. Okay, I'm taking the fruit from Riverdale to the West Side. Aristocratic animal, one of these crazy dogs who inherit millions of dollars. I'm saying, you know, the guy who bequeathed $10 million to his dog or his cat, and his dog sitting there at the table with all the servants. So that type of dog, you know, I'm a fine dog. I have refined tastes. Maybe there you wouldn't say basa lekicha. It would depend. If basa lekicha, you're machayef lekicha because it leads to the ultimate achila, then you wouldn't. If Davi Lekicha, the moment you invade Marisha Sayachad, you're chayv, and I ignore what happened as long as there's some loss, then I don't need integration. Not the Ravid integration, not logical integration. This is a way to solve Tosis's question on Rashi. If Rashi holds Model A, then maybe we can avert Tosis's question. Let's see Tosis's question, okay? Tosfos daf chaf gimel min aleph. Tosfos daf chaf min aleph. Based on chaf gimel. Miskagil mahu perish bekuntres the misachgile ibaser achila azlinan ibaser lekicha v'kasha de lekaman. It's a mishnah chaf aleph and a gemara chaf gimel. Gavin Kalef shenatul charara. Kalef took the food from Yehuda's house in Riverdale. V'halach legadisho. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara and Chaf Gimel, just see the Gemara to make it have sense. Hold Chaf Gimel, hold Chaf where you go to Chaf Gimel. The Gemara says, it's a simple Gemara, don't get worried. Four lines in the bottom, we're just trying to unpack what happened. Da'ach lahecha, where did the dog eat the cake or the bread with the fire? Da'ach lahecha. Ilema da'ach la begadish di alma, which it sounds like, Aaron, because it burned down someone else's field. So it sounds like the dog took the fruit from my field and burned down someone else's field and ate the cake there. Habino b'yivsteacha. Wait a second, the dog took the food from my Rishus since it went to another Rishus, which is not the Rishus of the Nizik, who owned the cake, it's not Besteach. So how could a dog that takes food from Yehuda's house and goes to Henry's house be chayef to Yehuda for the cake that he took? It's not Besteach of Yehuda. Wait a second, Tosfos says, Rashi, according to your reading of Misgalgil, this is Basel Lekicha, should at least be a suffix. Animal went to Yehuda's house, took the food, and then walk to Henry's house. If you hold Basel Lekicha, you should be Mechayev. How could the Gemara just assume it's Pater, right? Gadashi Alma Pater. Alex, how could you say Pater? It's an open question. Daf Chav. You took from someone's house. And therefore, Tosfos rejects Rashi. If you feel that Chav is describing Lekicha versus Achila in the way Rashi described, Tosfos is going to give us a different version tomorrow, the rolling bread, it's like Rashi described, how could the Gemara regurgitate the question, or recycle the question, on Daf Chav Gimel, if it's still, or the opposite. How could the Gemara close the question on Chav Gimel when it's an open question on Chav? Chav Gimel, the Gemara sounds like, oh, the dog took the cake from Yehuda's house and ate in Henry's house. Of course, it's Pater, because it ate in Henry's house, not in Yehuda's house. How could it pay Yehuda? What do you mean? That's Lekicha Achila, according to Rashi. That's one of the reasons Tosfos rejects Rashi. Adir and Reb David Tevel, the Nachlas David, I told you about one of the famous pre-Reb Chaim Chidushim and Bava Kama. Say, maybe you can distinguish between the Lekicha of Daf Chav and the Lekicha of Daf Chav Gimel. The Lekicha of Daf Chav Gimel is a totally irrelevant Lekicha. It in no way services the Achila. Namely, said otherwise, the gap between the Lekicha and Achila breaks any connection between Lekicha and Achila. Because the walk from Riverdale to the west side is irrelevant to the Achila. So since the Lekicha and the Achila are separated by an irrelevant walk, you can't say, oh, the Lekicha 2 hours ago in Riverdale is the first stage of the Achila 2 hours later on the west side. If Lekicha is chayev because it's the start of the Achila, it's the hefsa that leads to the breakage. Whereas if Lekicha is home invasion, as long as there's someone to pay, so I invaded, my animal invaded Yehuda's home. In the end, his food got eaten, who cares where it's eaten? I invaded your home, it led to a loss, and Lekicha is a standalone crime, as long as there's something to pay for the crime. So this question about how much of a connection we need between the Lekicha and Achila hits right at the heart of our issue. What are we talking about? Are we talking about Lekicha as the start of Achila? Or Lekicha as a standalone crime, assuming there's some payment? One of them is the right that you have to start eating. Okay, that's really extreme, but it's really good, right? Logic is always more evident on the extremes, always true in life. So you first start at the extreme, then you move towards the center. First see things black and white, then move towards more subtlety. Always think that way. So it makes Tosfos Rid so valuable in Lundus because Tosfos Rid is very extreme. Say, oh, the Tosfos Rid says this. Even if I don't like the Tosfos Rid, I can still say the same Svara in the Rashba. So you always want to see the extremes and then move towards the center. So Nafkamina number one. Okay? It's about to get the final stage of the shir. Like every good roller coaster ride is the upside down part. Okay, so get ready. If you like roller coasters, here's the upside down part. What are the Nafkaminas? Nafkamina number one, the Rivid. Do you need tchilas achila b'shas lekicha? That's the rivet. Number two, lekicha she'ena kshura le'achila. That's the case of the kelef on daf chav gimel. Okay, ready? Seat belts, upside down part. You like roller coasters? Okay, what do you call the Black Mamba? It's like the big ride. I hate them. I go over during, what do they call them? They still have that, the skeet ball. We throw the ball, I have to get into one of those holes. 10-15. I win all the stuffed animals. I'm an expert at skeet ball. Don't put me on the roller coaster. And I think of 100 excuses why I can't go. You know, I'll take the kids, I'll take the grandkids, you go, I'll sacrifice for the team. Don't put me on the roller coaster. Okay, I'm happy with the ski pole. Okay, so here's a roller coaster. Kin basar lekicha, someone said this before, Elisha, not just be a... Come on. Not just be a mechayev, can it be a poter? Here, if you say basar lekicha, since the lekicha was a shosei achid, you're going to be chayev, even though the achil happened in shosei rahman. Can I flip it? What if here we have a different animal who's standing in Rishus HaYachid and the food is in Rishus HaRabim and it takes the food from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid? Can I say that, oh, Basa Laki Chazlina, make it Pater? That's a teaser. Well, first, who said it? Who am I referring to? And? The Rambam. Let's see the Rambam. Rashi, first in the Rashi. Who are dinami ibehem shus and nizik? The amar b'shus harabim v'gilgulim shus harabim shus ayachet. So Rashi says it. Rashi feels the same question, of course. Same question in the inverse. The Rambam, for some reason, only had the Rishus HaRabim question. So if you open up the Rambam, Rishus Paragimel, Halachadalit, he only has this case. Rashi has both. So we're not going to get into that difference. Maybe the Rambam only has this case, but let's assume that the Rambam, for now, the question is reversibility and not exclusivity. Behema Shaisal Medis Rishus HaNizik, V'tolsha Peros Rishus HaRabim, V'achlasam Rishus HaNizik, Harei Adavar Safik. Remember, Alex the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion, so the Rambam means the Safik. Okay. Okay. Want to try it? Which model is reversible? Which model is less reversible? Think hard. Which model would you say, you know what? It's the same question. You just invert it. Basa l'kicha, if l'kicha is shesiyachet, you're chayv shesirab min pater. Which model? Say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Hirda. Maybe. Let's start with the easy one. If I pin most of the Mechayev on T0, because that's when the Hefsid begins, and so is it reversible? Yeah, I think it would be. The Iker Mechayev is the Hefsid, as long as there's a breakage in the end. So the Hefsid is in Avikol, and that's called the Maisa Nezek. So the Maisa Nezek takes place, that's called the, if it takes place in the Kirchaz and Shusiyach, the Chayev is around the Yipater. I'm basically saying T0 is the Bava Kala Mechayev. But if Basa Lekicha means that anytime you invade your chayev, doesn't necessarily mean anytime you don't invade your pater. Because invasion may just be one track of the chayev, not the only track, as we saw. Just because you don't have an invasion doesn't mean you're pater. It means when you have an invasion, your chayev is sufficient, not necessary. As we saw yesterday in the Ramban. It is introducing a question which I don't have enough time to discuss now, so we'll get to it. When we talk about invasion, it goes back to the psukim. Is that the Mechayev of Shein? Or a track of Shein? Remember, we have two psukim, Mundaf and Hey, which could mean two different Mechayevim. Is the Torah creating two Mechayevim for Shein? One, Nezek in Rosh Hashanah, two, invasion of Rosh Hashanah. So just because there's no invasion doesn't mean you're Pater. If there is invasion, you're chayiv, even if there isn't classic achila, and it's just a yachid, which is Pichnamara's case. But does that mean that if there's no invasion, you're pater? That's not so clear. So structurally, Yehuda, the first model is reversible. Because you're asking a larger bava kama question, which would then be adjusted based on whether you're grabbing from a shesayachid. If you're basically saying T0 is the point of decision, and Avikal, we have to decide when the Bava Kama act took place and where it took place. So if T0 is the moment, so if T0 is the Lekicha, so the Lekicha is the Shosei Achid, you're Chayiv. Inversely, if Lekicha is the Shosei Rabim, you'd be Pater. It's reversible. Whereas the second shot is saying that once you invade, you're Chayiv, that doesn't mean once you don't invade, you're Chayiv. That was your mistake. You've seen one track. So it's a bit of a tease, but I just want you to see the complete logical roundabout of the sugya. We'll get to this a little bit later, but this is reversible. What does this mean? Bava Kamma is T0. Why is Bava Kamma T0? Because Bava Kamma is loss-oriented, and the loss for the victim happened during the Lakiha. Again, we need to have that loss still be part of some larger process that ends in breakage and has to be incorporated with it. It's not a crime on its own. It's a crime only if it leads to breakage. But once the breakage happens, Basar Mekaris Linen. We look at the moment that the item is lost. No, the moment the animal kicked the kli, basically it was going to happen anyway. On Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So once I look at the T0 moment, it's the critical moment, I make a decision. I'd be going, where did that happen? Was it just a Nizek or was it just a Rabin? So in the Gemara's case, it happened just a Nizek, you're Chayiv. In the Rambam's case, the Rashi, it happened just a Rabin, you'd be Pater. Was if I'm generating a new Chayiv, look, there was no Nezek in Rosh Hashanah, but there was an invasion. That doesn't mean that when there's no invasion, but there was a chila in Rosh Hashanah, which is our case, where the animal grabbed it from Rosh Hashanah, but ate in Rosh Hashanah, there's a Maisa Nezek in Rosh Hashanah. Who cares if that there's no invasion? There's an chila in Rosh Hashanah. So is invasion the only way to define chain? Or is invasion another way to define chain? We're going to have to wait to see is there some Gemara. Listen to what I'm saying, because you may not get there, but I want you to see the methodology. Is there a Gemara, or is there a system which there are too many chains for one category? There are too many scenarios of shein that you're chayiv for there to be only one category of shein, and we need to say there are two tracks of chayiv shein. We don't really have that. We have it in the Ramban, but I don't have enough time for the Ramban. That's essentially the Ramban between an animal sticking its head into the chanos or an animal jumping on top of another animal. But we talked about that earlier this week. I'll try to get back to it. That's what we're searching for. Okay, the conclusive proof would be, oh, there are too many sheins out there that are chayiv. There have to be different tracks of shein. Nezek in Rosh Hashanah or invading the Rosh Hashanah, even if the nezek doesn't take place. We're not there yet, but this would be the way to solve it. But structurally, this is much easier to be reversed. This is harder to be reversed. It depends upon a lot more. That's why it's a roller coaster. A lot more sophisticated language. By saying that you're chayiv for invasion, are you implying that you're putter without invasion? If it's only one track of shein and all about invasion, then you're right. But is invasion an added track, makes you chayiv, basa lakicha, or is it the only track? And that's where this chakira lies. Okay? So let me try to give you the superstructure of today's shir, and then we'll move to Tosfos. The superstructure of today's shir ultimately became, how do you define basa lakicha? Bava Kamma is pivoted on breakage. Breakage happens in achila. It happened in this case in Mishas Harabim. It should be pater. How can you generate achiyah based on basa lakicha? So one way is to play with the anatomy of Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma is not really about the breakage. Bava Kamma is about the loss. That leads to a breakage, of course, but it's about the loss. And the loss to the victim happened during the time of Lakicha, because what does he care where the animal ate it, threw it in a sewer, stole it, you know, put it into a safe? I don't care. My money was lost when your animal took it from my rishos. The other approach is to say, no, it's not because it all started now and ended later and there's a T0 and a T1. I don't really care about T1. Your animal came into my rishos. Your animal's offsides. You have to pay me. Now, Halacha doesn't give people free lunches. If you didn't lose money, you're not going to get paid. So there has to be some loss. But ultimately, it doesn't have to lead to the loss. That just means there's no payment if there's no loss. You pay for being offsides. If there's no payment, no one to pay to, you're not going to pay. Okay? That's our question. Is Bas and Lakicha reflective of a track, maybe either the only track, maybe an additional track in Bava Kamma, which incriminates invasion? We talked about this globally. We saw Rabbi Tarfon, who homogenizes Karen and Shane in Rosh Hashanah. We talked about maybe assessment reflecting that you're damaging the land, certainly by eating attached fruits. Can you also be damaging the land by entering and doing your business and doing your crime in the Rosh Hashanah? We saw three nafkaminas so far, whether we incriminate, there's a fourth we'll start with tomorrow in Tosfos, whether we incriminate Lakicha because it's the start of a process that will end in classic Bava Kamma crime, or it's an invasion, and you pay for the invasion. The Ravid went really radical and said you have to actually eat while you're taking in order to say basa lakicha. That's clearly model one, where you're starting a process that ends. You have to start the eating process, even the beginning. Second question is, what happens if they're walking in between? What happens if there's a break or an interruption between lakicha and achila? It has to be one act. Even if the achila doesn't start at the point of lakicha, it has to be one continuous act. Or can it be separated by lakicha? 5 seconds of breathing, and then achila. Okay, the 5 seconds of breathing is a doggy walking to the west side. The lakicha wasn't serving the achila. It's not one integrated act. But what do I care? The animal came to your house. I'm chayiv for lakicha. So that's a really good nafkamina, and that's how we answer Tosas Kasha and Rashi from Chaf Kimul, because there, lakicha and the achila were separated. Final question is it reversible? can you use lechicha as a sibas aptur, not just a sibas achiyev? Rashi says yes, the Rambam says yes, not everyone agrees to them. If you hold that basa lechicha is what tea we care about, then the tea we care about could be a reason for chiyev or a reason for ptur. If basa lechicha is a standalone chiyev that we lop onto bava kama in addition to all the bava kamas, okay, so basa lechicha can incriminate you. Right? You want to go to the U.S. government and say, I deserve a lot of money. Why? I didn't rape anyone today. No. If you rape, you go to jail. If you don't rape, it's not like you get money. Okay? I didn't invade your rishos because I grabbed him for... Okay, you're not chayiv for invasion. But it doesn't mean you're not going to be chayiv in this case for other things you may have done if they're ultimate. So the omission doesn't necessarily create a p'tur. The omission just eliminates that track to be mechayiv you. Okay? Tomorrow, we'll just deal with Tosfos and Ayisor Makaros, but try to read the auxiliary Makaros that I gave you yesterday. Again, the big question in Tosfos, who cares about rolling bread? How does that impact anything we're talking about? What track, Aviv, Bava Kama, Turish Yisarabim, can possibly make sense of Tosfos and the rolling bread? Why do I care whether the bread is rolling? Again, get beyond the simplistic thinking. Don't just say, since it's rolling, we consider it like it's an Ish Yisarabim. That's a simplistic statement. Why would I consider it? What's the question? Why yes, why not? What about Bava Kama would let me see it that way? Which track of Turish HaSarabim would say, oh, it's going to end up there, therefore, which track of Rosh HaSarabim would say, you know what, I care where it is right now. Okay, I'm not going to give you a hint. Start with which makes more sense. I said it early in the share, an hour and a half ago. Which makes more sense to you? Whatever that X is, it makes so much sense that the Y seems ridiculous. You have to work hard to define the Y. That's why Rashi didn't want to learn like Tosfos. You should already know what I'm talking about, but the option one should be so obvious to you that option Y doesn't make any sense, and you have to work hard to create option Y. Rashi says, I can't make sense of option Y. I'm going to move the whole sugya to a non-literal reading of the sugya, the animal dragon. Okay, we'll stop here. I did want to talk about, one second, I did want to talk about something else. I have two issues I want to talk about. I'll talk about something else tomorrow, but I did want to talk about a little issue, so I'll keep